Good morning. Oh, it is. Gotcha. Good morning again as I gather my thoughts here. All right. What a beautiful morning that God has given us to celebrate Him and who He is. And I invite you to join me in just praising our Lord. Most of you know us, Gary and Cynthia Barkman, but for those of you who don't, we have loved being a part of NCF for the past 8 years, part of the family. We are missionaries with Ethnos 360. Ethnos exists to plant thriving churches amongst unreached people groups. Cynthia and I and our two boys, Kevin and Caleb, served overseas for 25 years. As part of a number of church planting teams in Latin America and in Asia. Our part of those teams was providing transportation to missionaries who were planting churches in and among unreached people groups. People who lived in really remote areas that were very difficult to access in many parts of the world. For the past 10 years, our focus has changed a little bit. We have been working at Moody Aviation here in Spokane, investing in the next generation of missionary pilots and mechanics. And I'm looking at a future missionary pilot mechanic. Seth, excited about that. We've been passing on the aviation and missionary experience that God has entrusted to us, multiplying ourselves. More about that later. So this is Missions Sunday. When I think about missions, I think about the life-changing power of the gospel. I think about the many flights that I did as a missionary pilot in support of missionaries that worked deep in the jungle. Missionaries who had given their lives to reach isolated people groups, people who had never heard or had a chance to hear the gospel. We never grew tired of seeing the gospel transform lives and whole communities. You never get tired of that. I remember one particular flight. I was going to fly to a place called Carona. I'd never been there before. This was in the days before the GPS. Carona was home to the Sanama people and is a tiny village. Deep in the jungle. It was a four-hour round trip in the Cessna 206 that I was flying. I had just enough fuel to get there, find the place, land, and get back home. So the pressure was on. Roland, my boss, explained to me I needed to fly for exactly 2 hours, 120 minutes, on an exact compass heading of something like 187 degrees. And those of you who are pilots in this room, I know there are a few, understand what I'm talking about. In 2 hours, 1 degree off would mean I was 20 miles off course. So the point was I needed to fly accurately. Accuracy was important. Roland explained to me that when I got to Carona, I would see a mountain up off to my right, a grassland, savanna down below, and a river underneath me. Well, I found this little place. Landed. This was a memorable trip for me. Memorable because this is where Cynthia spent her first 5 years of life, where Cynthia's parents, Bob and Joyce, began their missionary career. Memorable because in a couple of months, I was going to be marrying Cynthia, and I got to see where she grew up. Big deal. At that time, the Sanama people still had not heard the gospel. They were monolingual, meaning that they only spoke Sanama. There was no trade language. There was no connecting language. And so you can imagine that it took the missionaries a long, long time to learn the Sanama language. It's a lot of hard work to reach unreached people with the gospel, and it takes the whole body of Christ working together to reach people like the Sanama. Today, there are believers in Corona and a small growing church because some Venezuelan churches partnered with some American churches. They sent missionaries. Together they sent missionaries. They ensured that those missionaries were properly trained and equipped. They are praying for those missionaries. They're supporting them financially. They're taking care of them. And because of churches working together, there are believers in Corona today that are enjoying the same relationship with Jesus that you and I are enjoying today. Incredible. And that is what missions is all about, is connecting unreached people groups with the gospel. This morning, we're going to reflect just a little bit on what is so amazing about the gospel, because I think that we get accustomed to using words, saying things, and not really thinking about what we're really talking about. Why is the gospel good news? How can it change us? And why should we share the good news with others? The gospel is actually a person. The gospel is actually Jesus and all that he represents and encompasses. He's the good news. Because of Jesus, you and I, make it personal, will never have to face God's wrath. We don't talk about God's wrath very much, but someday God is going to unleash his wrath against all evil and sin. And that wrath should have been pointed to us, because God hates sin and the evil that it brings into the world that keeps us from enjoying what he desires for us. Jesus took the full weight of God's wrath on my behalf and on your behalf. Because of Jesus, our physical death is simply a step into the life that we were made for. We do not have to fear death. We feel shame in this world. Jesus took our shame upon himself, took us out of a place of shame, doing shameful things, and gave us an honorable place at his table. Through Jesus, we become a part of God's family, citizens of his kingdom, and then he puts us to work, giving us honored positions in the family business. Each of us are little brothers and sisters of Jesus that God created on purpose, with purpose. He gifted us, he empowered us, he enables us to do what he's called us to in being ambassadors of the good news of the gospel. Fear. You and I have nothing to fear. We fear a lot of things, but we have nothing to fear because we are citizens of the most powerful kingdom ever. Our king is our beloved father, stronger and more powerful by far than anything or anyone we will ever face. More powerful than anything or anyone in the universe, by far. Through Jesus, we have a clean conscience. We can have a clean conscience so that we can live freely and serve him and each other with gladness. Jesus is our substitute in death and in life. Through Jesus, all of the great and precious promises in God's words, in God's word, are true for us. He is our strength. He is our wisdom. He is compassionate to us, and he's compassionate through us. He is all-powerful for us, and he is powerful through us. He is our guide. Through Jesus, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing. This is important when you think life and death happen in our heads and in our hearts. And that's where God meets us. Jesus is our brother, our long-awaited Redeemer, the Redeemer that Matt talked about last week. Jesus is our teacher. He teaches us. He's our advocate. Right now, this moment, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, advocating for us, giving us all we need for life and godliness. Because of Jesus, we are no longer enemies of God. Think about being an enemy of God. It's a frightful, fearful thing. God calls us his friends because of Jesus. Because of Jesus, we have his Spirit within us, strengthening us, guiding us, empowering us. And the list goes on and on. Because of God's kindness towards you and towards me, God put us in a place where we could hear this good news and accept it. The Bible speaks of the gospel as being worth far more than any treasure. It's a treasure of infinite worth. It's a treasure that he desires that all people should hear about and know about. God's desire is that all people be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. The Bible says further that someday someone from every language and culture will worship him and be glad together, enjoying all his goodness that he has towards us. After this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands, and they were shouting with a great roar, "Salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb." Someday, we're all going to be up there rejoicing together with Asanama and with people from every tribe, tongue, and nation. But as Matt read for us, the question begs to be answered. How will people hear if nobody tells them? Somebody's got to tell them. So missions is the mission of the church. The church working together, making the gospel available for every person. Amazing that we get to be a part of this. For the first 25 years of our missionary careers, God allowed Cynthia and I the privilege of being part of many church planting teams providing transportation, as already mentioned, so that many people in remote places could hear the good news. But then God began to challenge us about investing in the next generation, multiplying ourselves, by passing on the things that we had been entrusted with, passing these things on to the next generation. So for the past 10 years, we have been investing in the next generation through Moody Aviation. And just Moody Aviation is part of MBI, Moody Bible Institute. Moody Aviation has, for the past 79 years, been training missionary pilots and mechanics to serve overseas. In fact, I think about half of all missionary pilots and mechanics who have served and are serving have been trained at Moody Aviation. Our goal is very specific. It's to equip the next generation of missionary aviators with solid technical skills and see mission aviators grow into spiritually mature missionaries. Aviation is unforgiving. Missionary aviation often operates in very unforgiving environments, transporting precious cargo. So it's imperative that it's done well. And because we are training missionaries, it's important that Moody Aviation grads are spiritually mature. As part of our role at Moody Aviation, Cynthia and I have had the privilege of traveling the world, investing in missionary aviation teams in many parts of the world, so that these missionary aviation teams can serve their missionaries well. In this past school year, Cynthia and I have seen how God is using mission aviation to take the gospel further in Angola, in Brazil, in South Africa, all over East Africa, in Kenya, Uganda, and from there, South Sudan, Democratic Republic of Congo, and African Central Republic, and so on. Recently, we were able to travel to East Africa to invest in AIM Air, Africa Inland Mission Air, their aviation support arm. We were able to take friends, grads, a couple that we work with, Derek and Zoe with us, so they could see firsthand how God might use them in missionary aviation overseas. We were able to see the powerful impact that the gospel has already had in many places. Society and life is better where Jesus is found. And we know this. As our society deteriorates, we are aware of this. And yet, we have opportunity to have a powerful impact in this society and societies all over the world. There are still many difficult to access places without the gospel. I asked a couple of our recent grads to share why they believe that missionary aviation is still an important part of reaching the world with the gospel, and how Moody played a unique part in their life. What's unique about Moody Aviation? In Kenya, we got to visit with Baden and Liz Fossey. Good friends of ours. Baden is a South African missionary kid from Mozambique, came here to Spokane to go to Moody Aviation, called by God, no money to pay for school, didn't know how it was going to happen, and an amazing story of how God took care of him. He met his wife here, they're married, they're part of South Hill Bible Church. Very cool couple that are serving the Lord now in Africa. We spent time with them in Nairobi, Kenya, down on the bottom right there. This month they're moving up to a place called Arua, Uganda, where they will be serving missionaries in the church in South Sudan, the DRC, and the ARC. So this is what Baden says is important about mission aviation. I've only been flying for a couple of weeks now, but every time I've been up to northern Kenya or southern Sudan, I'm struck by how remote and isolated it all is. What takes us 2 or 3 hours by plane takes them 2 or 3 days by car, provided roads are still intact and there isn't too much unrest. And a little side note, they were talking about one of the missionaries they serve who had to use the roads there a lot, who has to wear a neck brace because his body is so broken because of the roads that it is severely affecting his ability to serve. This week, I had the privilege of flying a team to Dukana, a small village about 20 kilometers from the Ethiopian border. The purpose of the visit was to just encourage the team in the work they are doing, and I ended up being able to get one of the vehicles running again while we were there. They have an amazing church, which is now full every Sunday, and a Brazilian couple from the team will be moving to another remote location later this year where they have to learn the local dialect to communicate with the local people. The stories of unrest and conflict that always felt so far away during training are now often right on our doorsteps. A month or two ago in Nukana, some local homes were attacked and burned. Most of these are related to tribal conflicts and cattle raiding. In Northeast Kenya, South Sudan, and CAR, there's often enough unrest that it isn't safe enough to drive, and missionaries wouldn't be able to be in those areas if the roads were the only means of access. And again, another side note, they were talking about having, one of the missionary pilots there was talking about having just visited a village, taken some missionaries there. I'm not sure what he was doing there, but in the next couple of days, that village disappeared because of warring and fighting. It's a real thing. It has been such a privilege to meet and encourage those who have given their lives to serve in these hard-to-reach places. Why Moody Aviation? What's unique about Moody Aviation, different than other flight schools? So much. Where to start? I really appreciate that Moody Aviation emphasizes that these amazing machines are a tool to accomplish God's work. We don't just fly because it's fun, but we look after the machines and do it well so that God may be glorified. I'm so thankful for the chapel times and the focus on our relationship with God and each other. I'm so thankful for the high level of training and for all the technical skills that we can use to help missionaries by fixing their cars, building structures, welding, and so on. In most of the flying, I often feel very overtrained and prepared, but the moments where the level of training fits the flying, that's where it all comes together to keep us safe and level-headed. I've already made a lot of weather decisions and done some heavy takeoffs. In these moments, I've greatly appreciated the high level of training that we have received. Another young couple, Peter and Linda Stewart, also good friends of ours, Moody Aviation grads, spent time here in Spokane. Currently work in the Amazon Basin at the Red Circle, Puerto Viejo. Really neat couple. This is what Peter says why mission aviation is important in the Amazon Basin. In 2020, after more than two decades of work, the New Testament was completed in the J language. Almost 100% of the work was directly supported by aviation. This is a case among many others that without the airplane, it's doubtful if the work would have continued and certainly wouldn't be completed today. And what that means is that people die, and so it's important that we get the gospel to people in a timely fashion. For most of the 2+ decades of work, travel without an airplane would have been 3 to 4 days. The great majority of flights, probably more than 75%, were made by Moody Aviation grads. The best part is that shortly after the New Testament was completed, God brought a young couple to work in the village to begin teaching and discipling the people using the newly translated New Testament. So now we continue to fly for this couple. Waiting on some audio here.
My training at Moody, especially as you got toward the end of the training got more specific, and you started going to unimproved runways, and you do your long cross country, and like any student at any time, you always say, "Do I really need to know this? Does this really apply? Why am I learning this? What's this for?" And so, I mean, it's a good natural question to have. And but because my instructors were often had served on the mission field, right there, you know, that already gives them credibility. So you're like, okay, they've already been there, they've done it, they've seen the reality of overseas flying, of jungle flying, whatever context that they had been in. And so if they're teaching me, obviously they have been there and they've done it. But you still just wonder, right? And then I remember until this day, but you know, especially early on in the flying here in Brazil, so many times I'd be like, yep, this is why they taught me it. Yep, here it is. Okay, I am putting that skill to use. And you know, you just make that direct connection to, this was taught in the classroom, this was taught in the airplane, and here I am today over the jungle, landing in an airstrip, taking off, marking a runway, whatever it is, being like, this is it, this is what I was taught, and today I'm putting it to use.
Cynthia and I have given our lives for missions, and in our case, mission aviation. That's what God gifted us to do. We're passionate about this because there are still many unreached people groups that can be reached quicker and better through aviation. And you all are a part of this journey with us, as you have prayed for us, supported us financially, and cheered us onward. And I'm thinking our small group and other people, friends in this church. Thanks for being a part of the journey with us. Missions is the church working together to share the good news with the nations. Each of us using the gifts and abilities that God has entrusted to us to give, go, pray, support, cheer on, and so on. The question for each of us is not if we should be involved in missions, but how. Find out how to play your part. God bless.